Exodus chapter 23. I like that song, especially the first one, Miss Jan. I like them both. That first one, that was a good... That's about as good as y'all ever hear that song. That was a really good job on that. I like acapella. Sometimes music just gets in the way. You lose the message. When you sing an acapella, you could know the words and know what's going on a little bit better. Exodus chapter 23. I'm going to sing a little song, a little part of a song this morning. It goes along with my message. Of course, I'm not a singer, that's for sure. But what's that got to do with it? Amen? Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And the Lord brings Israel out of the Jews, out of the land of Egypt. And He's going to bring them into the land of Canaan. In Exodus chapter 23, just pick it up. Verse 27. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27. Here's an interesting thing here. Read your Bible. Exodus chapter 23, verse 27 says this. He said, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Watch this. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and before thee, and shall drive them out from thee year to one year, lest the land become desolate, etc. And God said, I'm going to take those hornets, and I'm going to use those hornets to do my will. And you know, God uses, He uses the pestilence, you know it. You find that many times in the Bible. Canaanites tarded their hearts against God and grieved Him because of their sin. God sent along hornets to bring them in line and to help His own people to win. The hornets persuaded them that it was best to go quickly and not to go slow. They did not compel them to go against their will, but they just made them willing to go. He does not compel us to go. He does not compel us to go. He does not compel us to go against our will, but He just makes us willing to go. If a nest of live hornets was brought to this room and the creatures allowed to go free, you would not need urging to make yourself scarce. You would want to get out, don't you see? They would not lay hold by force of their strength, throw you out of the window, oh no. They would not compel you to go against your will, but they'd just make you willing to go. You know, throughout the Bible, God uses the pestilence. He uses pest. In fact, if you go back to Exodus chapter 8, we could go there. And when God was going to deliver Israel from Pharaoh, it says over there in Exodus chapter 8, you know what He did? He brought flies throughout the land. He uses a little fly, and He used the lice. He uses locusts. And a little bit later, when He got ready to get the land ready for the nation of Israel, you know what God did? He sent hornets in there to drive the Canaanites out. God uses the pestilence. A pestilence in the will of God, in the hand of God, a little bitty pestilence, is a great weapon in the hand of the Lord. You know what? They'll get the job done. A pestilence, it means this, it means troublesome, it means mischievous, it means making a disturbance, and God uses them all throughout the Bible. You find them. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 24, and God uses a pestilence there in the New Testament. And pestilence is one of the great weapons God used. A pestilence in the hand of God is a great weapon. A pestilence in the hand of God is a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 24, we read about a pestilence here. In Acts chapter 24, here's Apostle Paul, and he's standing there before Felix. In Acts chapter 24, it says over there, in Acts chapter 24, it says this, I'm just going to pick it up, verse 5, and they say this about Paul. They said, we have found this man a pestilent fellow. And a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. And they said about Paul, they said, hey,
this old fella, he's a pestilent. You know what I want to be? I want to be a pestilent for the Lord. I want to be a pest for God. There's nothing wrong with being a pestilent for the Lord. You know what a pest does? They're troublesome, they're mischievous, and they'll bug you. And some of the greatest servants and soldiers that God has ever used, I'll tell you what they were, Brother Al. They were pestilence of what they were. They'd bug you crazy. And I've known a few pestilence of God to my day. I've known a few of God's pestilence through the years I've been saved. I've been saved for 43 years, and I've met a few of them. I met one in particular I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this morning. But I've met a few pestilence, and I want to be a pestilent for the Lord. I'm going to give you a few things about a pestilent this morning. I want to say, first of all, about a pestilent, I'll tell you one thing about them. They'll pursue you. A pestilent will pursue you. I've been downstairs. We have a house. We got a two-story house. We got a full basement downstairs, and that's where I spend most of my time. My little basement. I got a little study down there, a little cubby hole, and I'm down there probably 90% of the time when I'm not sleeping. I'm down there, Miss Martha, and I'm down there. I got a whole house, 3-bedroom house, all upstairs, you know, and all that. And I'll be down there studying sometime, and I'll be trying to get a sermon up, be trying to read, pray, and doing something, Brother Al. And about that time, a little fruit fly or a gnat will show up. And you know what that little stinker will do? He'll start pursuing me. And I mean, I can't get anything done. That little guy, bzz, 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 bzz. And after a little while, Miss Carol, I say, okay, dude, you can have this area. You stay here. I'm going upstairs. Fair enough. And I'll go upstairs and start doing what I'm doing up there, sitting in my recliner. And about 10 minutes later, you know what happens? Bzz, bzz, here he comes. You're a pestilent, dude. They'll pursue you. They'll come after you. Brother, they'll just bug you and bug you and bug you and bug you. I can go up there. You can't run from a pestilent. Sometimes I get out, got a deck outside, and I got a swing out there, and I go out there and sit, and these wasps will show up, and I'll sit in that swing, and there's a whole world out there, Brother Chris. There's a whole universe out there. And you know what that little wasp will want to do, Miss Jane? He'll want to sit in my lap and pursue me. If I move out of the swing and go sit over there on the bench, you know what will happen in a few minutes? That wasp will come over there and he'll want to sit in my lap again. You know what a pestilent will do? They'll pursue you. You know what I want to do? I want to be a pestilent for the Lord. A pestilent will pursue you and they'll find you out. One of my favorite characters on TV is a man by the name of Ernest T. Bass. On Andy Griffith. First time he ever shows up is when Darlene got married to Dud. You remember that?
Yeah.
And Ernest T. was in love with Charlene, and because it wasn't married with a preacher, it didn't count. Remember that?
Yeah.
And Andy never met Ernest T., and he goes up in the woods with the Darlings, and he's going to try to find it. Here's what it says. And Andy said, "Where can I find this Ernest T. Bass?" And Dud says, "Ah, he's a pestilent, and a pestilent will find you. You just wait." You know what a pestilent will do, brother? They'll find you, brother. And a pestilent will find you no matter where you're at. They'll pursue you. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:22, he said, "And the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak." And he said, "I'm become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul said, "I'm just going to be at best, and I'm going to find them, and I'll pursue them." That's what I want to be. I want to be a pestilent for the Lord. The guy that led me to the Lord, Randy Mills, you know who he was? He is a pestilent, brethren. He pursued me. I'm telling him, guy would come by my house and witness to me, and I'd curse him out, tell him, "Don't ever come back to my house again. He's no longer welcome here. Don't come around here anymore. I don't want to hear that stuff." Well, he tricked me. He tricked me. We used to fish a lot back in those days. And we had a great, my aunt had an uncle had an unbelievable place on the lake, Shelby County. And I mean, those fish were so violent and so big, Brother Alonzo. Man, you had to hide behind a tree to bait your hook, man. They'd come take it away from you. And he wanted to go fishing down there one day. And I thought, okay, we'll go fishing. That ought to be safe, fishing with this guy, amen. And so we drive down there, and we go on the road. It's way down to Shelby County. He don't bother me. Everything's going great, man. We're just talking normal stuff, and everything's going on. I thought, well, maybe he's got away from that stuff. Maybe he'll leave me alone, quit witnessing to me. And we get out there in the middle of the lake in a little old John boat, and the next thing you know, he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a New Testament. He's standing in a boat. I'm over there drinking whiskey and smoking dope. And I'm over here trying to fish. And this guy's over here. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all his sin to come short of the glory of God. You know what that fellow was doing? He was being a pestilent and he was pursuing me. And that same day, a little bit later, you know what happened? I got saved. You know why? There's a pestilent, brother. You know what they'll do? They'll pursue you. They'll come after you. They'll drive you nuts. You know what I want to be? I want to be a pestilent for the Lord. I want to try to pursue people right out of hell. Bug them right out of hell is what I want to do. I'd get in my car sometimes, and the window's up. That thing's airtight. Driving down the road, and I don't know how they do it, but a mosquito will show up. I don't know how he got in that car. But I'm telling you, he'll show up and chase me around that car if I'm not careful. You know what a pestilent will do? They'll pursue you. They'll come after you. One of the most pestilent fellows I've ever known. And I love him to death. And I'm going to send him a copy of this message, Lord willing. Is a friend named Linton Smith. That fella's the most pestilent fella I've ever met in my whole life. Brother Charlie Andrews out there at Glory Land. All the fruit that guy's got on an outlaw biker. I told you before, there's that time him and Charlie and Myra got into a fight, wouldn't get along, and Lennon always witnessed to him, goes by the house to see Brother Charlie, and he wasn't there. And Myra said, he's not here, but she said he'd love to see you. Because she knew Charlie couldn't stand him. He's a pestilent. He'd bug you to death, that guy would, try to get you saved. She said, he's not here, but he'd love to see you. She said, he's down there at the bar, an outlaw biker bar. Kind of bar, you know, they search you for a gun. If you don't have one, they give it to you, you know. Kind of deal. And he's in there. And the next thing you know, Brother Charlie told me, I've heard him preach about it. And he said, he's in there with these outlaw bikers and he's shooting pool $100 a ball, man. And he said, in walks the back door. And you'd have to know if you don't know Lynn Smith. Then broke the back door is Lynn Smith with the Bible in his hand like this, a big smile. Charlie saw it. He said, what is he doing? He said, these guys are going to kill him. And he said, Brother Charlie said, he's walking around there shooting pool, and Lynn's walking right behind him. There the Bible said, Brother Charlie, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all his sin comes short of the glory of God. He ended up getting saved. All the fruit that guy did is unbelievable. You say, what did he do? He's a pestilent. He just pursued him. Brother, he'd go anywhere after him. I want to say a pestilent. They'll pursue you, brother. I'll tell you something else about them. Something else about a pestilent. They'll pursue you. They are persistent too. Pestilence, they don't quit easy. That's why they call them pests. Because they will bug you in their pesty little things. I saw a TV commercial, a pest control commercial. Brother Chris, he's a pest control guy. And I've seen it years ago. I hadn't seen it in a while. And this guy, Brother Al, he's sitting in his living room and he's sitting in his recliner. And he's just sitting there watching TV, this commercial. About that time, a fly comes in the commercial. It's going, bzz, bzz, bzz. And it gets a flash water. Can't get it. And next thing you know, he's getting some bug spray. Shh, shh, shh. He's spraying the whole house. He's over there. And the fly's still flying. Shh, shh. And the next thing you know, he gets his shotgun out. Pow! Pow! Blowing holes through the ceiling. And that fly still. And the next thing you know, he gets a big old gigantic cannon and rolls it in there. Pow! Pow! And in the commercial, the whole house is torn down. And that guy's laying down there half dead in a recliner. And that fly is laying on his nose. See what I'm trying to say? I want to tell you, pestilence, they are persistent, brother. You can't hardly stop them. They'll pursue you, and they just keep on coming on, brother. You can swat at them. You can call them every nasty name in the book. You can slam the door in their face. You can do everything you can do, but you can't stop them. They are persistent. Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, all the things he went through, 2 Corinthians 11, I've given it to you before. He said five times the Jews five times received our 40 stripes. Five times they beat him with 39 stripes. Thrice I was beat with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep of the ocean, in journeys often, in perils of water, perils of hunger, all through that. In Acts chapter 20, he said, hey, none of these things move me. You say, what was he? He is a pestilent fellow. Those pestilence, brother, they're persistent. Turn to Acts chapter 26 and get 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll tell you, those pestilence, they'll pursue you. They'll come after you, brother. I'll tell you something else, they're persistent. You just can't shut them up. You can slam the door in their face. You can call them every name in the book, and they'll just keep on coming like they never heard it. I've seen people call Brother Linton names. I've been with him when they slammed doors in his face. I went one time with a friend of mine, a buddy night, after I got saved, I was going to go by a witness to him. And honest to goodness, that's been 43 years ago. And me and Linton went in there. And for long, his mom and daddy's pushing us out the door. And that guy still won't talk to me. You know what? Thank God. You know what he is? He's a pestilent fella. One time he come by and picked me up, Brother Linton. They had this people that's going around the country. They called themselves Bo and Peep. And they claimed they're from a UFO. Y'all remember them? And they was going around the country getting everybody to give them their money, and they took all their money and ran off, you know, to Las Vegas or something. Said they were going to meet them up on a mountain, you know, and everybody was going to go up to a UFO. And so Brother Linton, they was over at a hotel in Mountain Brook, and so Linton come by and get me one day. He said, let's go. You got to be careful when you go with Linton Smith, by the way. So we go there to that place and sit down, and they start their spiel, and Brother Linton's doing this. Won't ask them questions. And he's asking them questions about the Bible. And he's witnessing there for the Lord. And before long, you know what happens? The police come and escort us and take us out the door. You say, what is that? That's a pestilent fellow, brother. They'll pursue you and they're persistent. You don't shut them up. They'll keep coming after you, brother. Look at Acts chapter 26. There's Paul. There's Paul. Acts chapter 26. Oh, Paul, he took a beating. He's over there in Acts chapter 26. I'm getting there. Acts chapter 26, verse 24 says this. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. And Festus said, King Agrippa. Well, not it. This is it. And he thus spake for himself, Acts 26, 24, Paul. And Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You know, he said, hey, Paul, you're a nut, you're crazy. You know what it did? It didn't even faze Paul. It don't faze that pestilence. He just kept going. He said, oh, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness, brother. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. They are persistent. They don't shut up. You're not going to offend them. You're not going to make them mad. You can call them crazy. You can call them mad. You can slam a door on them. You can call the police on them. You can throw them in jail. But I'm going to tell you, those pestilence, they're persistent. They don't shut up. Brother Linton, years ago, he was a missionary to China, Red China, and he got in by teaching English. That's how he got in. They needed people to teach English. We used to get his newsletter, and we got this one about 20 years ago, maybe. I remember me and my wife, we read it, we laughed, it was so funny. But they advertised all over the place, and they said Dr. Linton Smith will be speaking on English at this big university. And they had flyers all over the place, you know. And that's how he got in, by teaching English. And they said Dr. Linton Smith will be teaching English at this big university. I had a big deal, you know. And of course, when Linton got in there, you know what he taught from? He taught English from the old King James Bible. And he was witnessing to them and preaching to them and teaching to them. And so they come and run him in the newsletter. They come and they pull him out of the building. They go to the cops, whatever, taking him out. And he's running out the door. His daughter, Deanna, runs and gets the microphone that he had, and she starts preaching to them. You know what that is, brother? That's a pestilent. That's somebody who'll get the job done. They'll pursue you, and they're persistent. They're not afraid getting their names called. Not afraid of people getting mad. You take that old bee, that little honey bee. Boy, that's a persistent little dude. You know it. I got looking up a few things. I found a thing about that bee. It's pretty amazing to me. It's amazing what God does with these little animals. It said to produce 1 pound of honey, one bee must take 56,000 trips to the clover head. to the clover heads. And since each clover head has 60 flower tubes, that bee makes 3,360,000,000,000 trips. That one bee to make 1 pound of honey equivalent to traveling 3 times, it said, around the world. Why do they call them busy as a bee? And while they're making that delicious honey, you know what that bee's doing? That bee's going from flower to flower getting that honey, but he's also pollinating all those flowers and all those crops. If the bees in this country was to die, oh, our crops, they said, would last about 3 weeks right now. You know what that is? That's persistent. God's pestilence, I'll tell you what they are, they'll pursue you, and they're persistent. One of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard is a guy by the name of Carl Hatch. And that guy was a bad dude, man, before he got saved. He's about the baddest I've ever heard of. I got his testimony at the house. And this guy, when he was coming up, his mother would pray for him. And he said he'd come home drunk at night. His mother would be out there in the smokehouse praying for her son, Carl. He said he'd run, grab her by the hair, and pull his mama up and say, "Quit praying for me, blankety, blankety. Stop it, old crazy woman. There's no such thing as a God." Tried to kill his wife, went in and out of prison. And old Carl Hatch, one time he moved in this house. And he was in there working on the house, painting the wall in there. He's in there painting, drinking whiskey. He's an old drunk. Been in and out of prison, old Carl Hatch. And next door neighbor knocked on the door. Said, "Hey, I'm your next door neighbor. Come over here and thought I'd introduce myself to you." And Carl Hatch said he noticed when he came in, he had an old wooden leg. He was dragging a leg behind him. He said, "Can I help you?" Carl Hatch said, "Hey, yeah, just get on this ladder and help me out a little bit here." And he got on the ladder, and that next door neighbor said, "Hey, I just want to let you know, I'm a Baptist preacher." Carl Hatch said that thing. He said, "You're a what?" He said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." Carl Hatch said, "You get your blankety blank out of here." And he said, "If you ever set foot on my property, I'll kill you." And he said, he knew I'd kill him too. And he said, "I would have killed him if he had stepped back on my property again." But he said, every day he'd drive up in his car. And he said, that old one-legged preacher would get right there by the edge of his lawn right before he started. And he said, "I'd drive in." He'd say, "Hey, Carl. Carl, I love you. And God loves you, Carl." Carl's every day he'd come home, there he was. He said, "I couldn't stand it." He said, "I got where I parked my car 3 blocks down the road, and I tried to sneak in by the bushes." He said, "I'd sneak in by the time I'd step on that porch. There he'd be on the edge of his lawn. Hey, Carl, I love you. And God loves you." He said he never stopped. Carl one day called his wife up, been drinking at the bar. He said, "I'm coming home and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you." And she said, "Why, Carl? Why are you going to kill me?" He said, "Because I committed every sin in the book but murder, and you're going to be my victim." He went home, beat his wife unconscious, took a fifth of liquor. He said she never took a drop of liquor in her whole life, and poured that whole fifth of liquor down her. Thought she was dead. She lay there on the floor unconscious, and she coughed up something, and he knew she was still alive. And there, in just that remorse, he opened up the door, and that old preacher was out there. "Carl!" He yelled out the door. He said, "Preacher, you get over here!" Before long, that old preacher led him to the Lord. And old Carl Hatch, that tape, he said, "Don't you quit! Don't you quit, mamas and daddies. Don't you quit praying. Don't you quit witnessing to them. You just keep on keeping on. And I'm going to tell you, those pestilence, brother, they're persistent. They'll pursue you. You won't shut them up." I tell you something else about those pestilence. They're not only persistent. I tell you something else. They're persuasive. That song that I sung you about those hornets. "And the hornets persuaded them that it was best to go quickly and not to go slow. They would not take force and throw you out of the window, no, but they just made you willing to go." You know what that old pestilence are? They're persuasive, brother. They'll move you. You take a little old insect coming around here, I guarantee you, a little hornet coming here can move you. I bet it could. I tell you what, This guy got out of there. He got out of this place. My wife would jump out that window right there. You say there's not a window. There would be. There would be. The other day, I think it was last Sunday, we was getting ready to leave. And there's a wife flying around the car. And she was trying to get in. And he was kind of getting in the way. I told her, I said, just get on in. He's not going to bother you. She said, he's already bothering me. If this guy accidentally got out, there's nothing in there. It persuaded you when there was nothing in there. You know what them little pestilence are? They're persuasive. I remember one time years ago, I had this honey hole where I was fishing, Brother Al, and I mean I could run a buzz bait through that thing, a worm, and about every other cast I'd hook a hog, man. Woo, it was fun. I'd have fought King Kong, Brother Lonzo, over that honey hole. King Kong would have been there. Mike Tyson would have went at it. And I drove up there one day in my little boat, and it get some trees hang over it, and you get up under the trees, and I looked under that tree, Brother Dodd, and there's a big old hornet nest. Guess who won that day? That hornet won. I wasn't about going to get it. You know what they are? Them little pestilence, they're persuasive, man. Look at Acts chapter 24 where our text was. Look at Acts chapter 24. They'll persuade you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Those little pestilence, brother, they're persuasive. They'll get the job done. Look at Acts chapter 24, verse 4. And we're going to go to Acts 13. Let's go to Acts 24, verse 5 that we saw our text. Acts chapter 24, verse 5. Said, we found this fellow man, a pestilent fellow. That's Paul. Look what it said. And a mover of sedition among the Jews. All the Jews throughout. He moved them, brother. And a ringleader. You say, well, he was persuasive, brother. He was a persistent. He'd pursue them. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Look at Acts chapter 13. Give you a few verses of Acts chapter 13. I tell you what a pestilent will do. They'll persuade you. They'll persuade you to move one way or another. That's what I want to do. I want to be that way. I want to just bug people. I want to get them as close to the cross as Jesus Christ as I possibly can. Or I want to get them as far away from it. That's what I try this church. I'm trying to get you as close to Jesus Christ as I can. Or I'm trying to get you as far away from Him as I can. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, He said, I'll just spew you out of my mouth. I want to get you cold or hot. I want to bug you and be a pestle and push you and persuade you one way or the other. Get you in or out. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. You know what Paul was? He is a persuader. Look at Acts chapter 13 verse 43 says this. Acts 13 43 says, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them. Continue in the grace of God. Flip over to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. You know what Paul was? He was a persuader. You know what that is? That's a pestilence. You know what a pestilence do? They'll stay on you. They'll pursue you. They're persistent. And brother, they'll win you over. They'll persuade you. That's what Randy Mills did to me. Acts chapter 18 verse 4. It said, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Look at verse 13. Saying, this fellow persuadeth man to worship God contrary to the law. I could go on and on and on. Look at Acts chapter 19. Flip over one more. Acts chapter 19. Verse 26 says this. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but also throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people. Remember over there, Agrippa said, Paul almost thou persuadeth me to be a Christian. You say, what was he? He was a persuasive. You know what them pestilence are? Brother, they'll persuade you. They'll move you one way or another. You won't be able to walk around and be the same. I worked with a guy years ago at the bank. I got saved there at the bank, worked nights. And there's one guy, his name was Bill Brown. And old Bill, he was one of the most obnoxious, vulgar guys I've ever been around my whole life. And I've been around a bunch of them. And Bill loved Hitler. He was a brilliant guy. He was smart, read a lot of times. He had this little old beard, you know. It was a thin beard. He had it down about here, kind of in a point, you know. It had a kind of a little goatee. And kind of thing. And he smoked a Mishum pipe. One of these hand-carved Mishum pipes. He'd walk around smoking that thing all the time. And he was one of the managers over Ballast, and he just cussed everybody out. I mean, you couldn't stand to be in a room with the guy. Unless you were Linton Smith. When Linton Smith met him, he had met his match in Brother Linton Smith. And Brother Linton Smith was on him like a gnat on a rat, brother. He was a pestilence all the way. Brother Bill was a pestilence, but Brother Linton was a bigger one. And Brother Linton would chase him around the bank there. Linton worked as a guard. He'd chase him around with his Bible sitting there. And brother, he'd call Linton every name in the book, curse his mouth, call him a nut crazy. And it wouldn't even fade. It'd be like talking to that brick wall. He just kept on coming. He just kept on coming. And if I wouldn't have been there and saw it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. But Linton Smith led that old boy to the Lord. I mean, I'd have never thought in my life, but you know what he was? He was persuasive. He'd pursue him. He was persistent. I was at Brother Linton's house about a month ago. He was talking about some of those guys at the bank, and I asked him about Bill Brown. He said, "Hey, he's still serving God." I said, "Brother Bill Linton, that's probably the most amazing convert I've ever seen in my whole life with that guy." But you know what he did? He just pursued him. He's persistent, and he is persuasive. He didn't give up. You wasn't gonna shock him. I don't want to say a pestilence. They're persistent. They're persuasive. They're penetrating. You take that little bitty old mosquito, that little dude can bite you, and it hurts. They can bite, they can sting, they can buzz, they can bug you. They will just penetrate your life and change your life. They can get under your skin. You know what a pestilence can do? Child of God, a pestilence, you know what they can do? Like old Randy Mills did for me. Boy, he got under my skin. That guy bugged me. He drove me nuts. They're penetrating like a little pestilence. Take your Bible. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. You know what a pestilence will do? They'll bug you. They'll pursue you. You know what they'll do? They'll stand out on the street corner and hold a scripture sign, prepare to meet that guy. You say, "What are you doing?" We're trying to penetrate them. Go down to Dollar General, send a prayer book. You say, "What are you trying to do?" We're trying to be a pestilence and just penetrate them. I mind Brother Odell Ash when he used to go down there years ago and stand out there in front of the adult bookstore at East Lake and yell and preach to those people. And you say, "What was he?" He was a pestilence, brother. A lot of those guys just wanted to go over there and watch a little pornography, you know, and not bother nobody. And there's a crazy preacher, a pestilence, standing out there. Be sure your sin will find you out. See, what are they? They're penetrating. They'll pursue you. They're persistent, brother. They're persuasive. Look at Acts chapter 16. It says this about Paul. Acts chapter 16. I'll tell you about those pestilence. They'll penetrate. They'll get to you, brother. Acts chapter 16, verse 20 says about this, about Paul. It said, brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city." Flip over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. "And when they found him not, they drew Jason and certain brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither.'" They're talking about Paul. He said, "What was he, brother? He was changed. He was penetrating, making a difference." Turned over to Acts chapter 24. I want to tell you, a pestilence, they'll pursue you. They're persistent. Brother, you won't stop them. I'll tell you something else about them. They're persuasive. And they're penetrating. Old Paul's over there and he's standing before Ananias. And there, look at Acts chapter 24, verse 5. "For we have found this fellow, this man, a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout the land, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." Come down to verse 24. "And after a certain day, Sylla came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess," he said, "for Paul, and heard him concerning his faith in Christ. And as he reads of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come," watch it, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time when I have found a conviction.'" You know what he did, brother? The Bible said, when Paul's over there preaching to him, it said he trembled. You say, what was he doing? He is penetrating, brother. I'm telling you, old Felix, the Bible said he trembled. He got under conviction. And he said, when I get a convenient season, I'll call for you. You know what? Most preachers, they stop right there. Read the next verse. I got a message for this. Verse 26, and he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, watch this, he sent for him the oath. He kept calling Paul back. He sent for him the altar to commune with him. You say, what was it? Old Paul was penetrating that old guy's soul, brother. Look at Acts chapter 26. So what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that old pestilent, brother, he'll penetrate you. He'll get under your skin. Brother, that's what you got to have nowadays. Too many Christians, they're too wimpy. They quit too easy. You can't hardly stand to get mad and get offended. Man, if you're worried about getting offended, you're in the wrong deal, brother. Because I'm going to tell you, this Bible offends. The Bible said one time, it said, we'll make it of none offense, of none effect, when it loses that offense, brother. Look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Here's Festus, Acts 26, verse 24. And he thus spake for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And come down to verse 28. And Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You say what he said? I want to tell you, Paul got to him. Paul was penetrating to him. He said to Paul, you're crazy, you're mad. And Paul just kept going that pestilence. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He penetrated. He said, Paul, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. He said, what was that old pestilence? They'll pursue you. They're persistent. They're persuasive. They're persistent. And they're penetrating. I'll give you one more thing about a pestilence. They're propagating. They'll propagate. Their word propagate, it means this. It means to spread and promote widely. It means cause to spread out and affect a greater number, a greater area, to spread, to extend, to spread. I tell you what a pestilence will do. You get a little fly flying around your house, a little fruit fly. Before long, you got five or six of them right there. We've had some fly in our house. And what you can do is get your little cup and pour some apple cider in there, apple cider, and drop a couple of drops of soap in there. Vinegar is what we put in there, the apple vinegar. Put that in a little cup and put some soap so they can't crawl out. And you think you got one or two, before long that thing is full. They'll be flying in that thing. You know what those pestilence do? They propagate. They spread rapidly and they multiply. You know what it said about Paul? It said he's a mover. It's a sedition of the Jews throughout the whole world. It said over there, it said he turned the whole world upside down. You say what? These old pestilence, they get the job done and they propagate and they multiply and they reproduce. Because they'll pursue you. And they're persistent. And they're persuasive. And they're penetrating. And they'll propagate. I told you about Brother Linton Smith, and I love that old boy. Brother Charlie used to say, he said, you get two blessings with Brother Linton. You get a blessing when he comes, and you get a blessing when he leaves. That's the way he is. You know Brother Linton?
I've met him.
That's the way he is. But I tell you what, God has used that old boy probably more than anybody in my whole life. Jim Trotter, you know why Jim Trotter's preaching in the King James Bible today? Because of Linton Smith. Vernon Hansen, probably the greatest Bible teacher one of the greatest on the planet. You know why he's teaching the King James Bible? Because of Linton Smith. You want Odell, Brother Odell's preaching because of Linton Smith, Charlie Andrews, Greg Gibson, Odell Ash, Dale Waller. I could go on and on and on and on and on. Of all the preachers and missionaries that guy's got, he bugged them and bugged them and bugged them. And every one of them will tell you this. When they first met that guy, they couldn't stand him because he'd get right in their face. Brother Odell, Brother Linton right now has got cancer and got some head problems. Can't get out much right now, but every Friday, Odell Ash drives about 40 minutes. Rough traffic over there through. Every Friday, he'll go down there and spend about 30, 45 minutes with Brother Linton. I went with him about a month ago, and I told Brother Odell after that's a rough little trip. And I said to Brother Odell, I said, man, I tell you, Brother Odell, you sure are a good friend to do this every Friday. This is a little trip. And he said, man, I love that guy. He said, I wouldn't be nowhere I was if it wasn't that guy. He said, that guy used to come to my house about every day bugging me. He said, when I first met that guy, I couldn't stand him. He said, I love that guy. That guy took me out of that Southern Baptist convention, all that mess, and got me straight on that Bible. He said, that guy's one of the best friends I ever had. He said, you know what them pestilence will do? They'll propagate. They'll propagate, and they'll grow, and they'll multiply over and over and over. I was at his house the other day, and we were sitting there talking. And there's a guy that we used to work with. His name was Russell Mitchell. Russell's 78 years old now. Russell was worked. All he did is decollate, separate paper there in the data processing at the bank. And I was talking to Brother Linton. I hadn't heard from Russell anything about him. And Linton was told me, he said, hey, he said, I just got a letter from Russell Mitchell. I said, what? He said, I got a letter from Russell, and he thanked me for helping him and getting him back in church. You know what that guy's got? He's got fruit everywhere. You know what pestilence will do? They'll propagate. I told you about that one-legged preacher that led old Carl Hatch to the Lord. He led old Carl Hatch to the Lord, and old Carl Hatch had been time in prison for trying to kill his wife and all kind of things. Man, he is a bad dude. I could tell you ought to hear his testimony. I'm not even scratching the surface all the things that guy did. And he became one of the greatest soul winners of this generation, old Carl Hatch. He got saved. That preacher led him to the Lord. And he worked for Ford Motor over there in Flint, Michigan. And he got the big family Bibles. All he had was them real big old family Bibles. And all he knew was Rome 10:13. It wasn't Romans. It was Rome 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And he took that big family Bible with him to Ford Motors where he worked. And had a piece of cardboard stuck in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he took it in that place. And he witnessed those guys. And four long curl hats with one verse. Romans 10:13. He led 350 of those men of the Lord in that plant. President of Ford Motors called him into his office one day, heard about it. And he said, I hear you're witnessing, preaching those men. Carl Hatch, he wouldn't call to preach, didn't know nothing. He said, I'm just telling them what God did for me. I got saved. And he said, well, when you do it, he said, I just do it at lunch. We go out there at lunch while they're eating their lunch. I just talk to them about the Lord, what he done for me. And the president of Ford Motors said to him, he said, what do they sit on? They got some chairs? He said, they take your old lunch bucket and turn it upside down. And the president of Ford Motors told him, said, Ford Motors is going to build you some pews. And he asked him, he said, what do you do for a pulpit? He said, I don't have no pulpit. I just stand out there and walk around and talk to him. He said, Ford Motors is going to build you a pulpit. He said, you got to use hymn books, you see. He said, we just sing Amazing Grace. We don't have no hymn book. He said, Ford Motor's going to buy you some hymn books. Ford Motors built him a chapel in Ford Motors for Carl Hatch to come in there at lunch and preach to those people. You say, why? A pestilent preacher. A pestilent one-legged preacher that wouldn't give up. You know what those pestilents will do? They'll pursue you. They're persistent. You're not going to stop them. They're persuasive. Boy, they'll penetrate, they'll get under your skin. And when all said and done, they'll propagate. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Brother Al, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?
Dear Lord, just thank you, Lord.